Winston City Council, January 17, 2023.
Careful. Tripping around.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please. Councilor Cunningham?
Here.
Councilor White?
Here.
Councilor Hobson?
Here.
Councilor Sullivan?
Here.
And I'm here too, so we got the full house. Mr. Bauer, any adjustments to the agenda?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to speak to the council? Seeing none, thank you very much. Report boards, commissions, and committees of schools. Mr. McIntosh, Economic Development, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So we did have a brief economic development meeting and talked about some of the ongoing projects. One of the things we'd like to highlight from that meeting is we had a member of the Umpqua Economic Development Group there. She did put in an application to be on Economic Development Committee. So we're happy with that. That puts the panel at 6 members. And another thing that she shared is that they have a platform for properties to be broadcasted anywhere that are commercial and industrial related that has been fairly successful in recent years bringing in interested vendors to do operations on there. So she provided information in case some of our citizens or property owners want to utilize that platform, which we plan at some point putting that resource on the website to be available to the community. Other than that, we did have a Wander Winston report as well in the normal regard. I will save those intricacies for Katie once she gives a report before the council. And our large apartment complex development was something that was talked about at length. Right now, it is behind two other projects, a project in Springfield and a project in Cottage Grove, prior to the developers focusing its full attention on that particular development and permitting. That concludes my report.
So where does that put us in line then? How far out would that make it?
That puts us third in line, Mayor, and it puts us probably about 6 to 8 months out.
Okay.
They have, once they get going and the building process starts, that's when they kind of shift their focus, because then it's just kind of on the contractors on site to take care of kind of what they need to, and they can still, they typically have 4 or 5 of these projects going at once.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions for Thomas?
How many housing units is that?
That they have ongoing?
No, for here.
For here, 160 units, 80 units per complex, per phase.
Thank you.
More questions for Thomas? Park Board. Alicia, I'm confused. I thought it was Sullivan. It says here's Anderson. So which is it?
It's Anderson.
Anderson. Okay.
Officially, yes. Finally.
I will make a personal. I'll make a note. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So for Park Board, we actually had 2 different community members come to the board with suggestions. One is looking at a proposal of a mini disc golf course. And another is proposing a dog park. And these are just very preliminary. You know, it has to have an application and funding, things like that. So it's very just at the beginning stages of being presented. And then we're also working on a storage contract for the Riverbend stage. So our next board meeting, we're actually planning on meeting there to look at the situation and assess it, and then have some more meetings after that to come up with a plan. And that's it.
Did anybody give any suggestions about the where they locate the mini golf course and the dog park.
Was that at which park?
Yeah, it was. It was actually tied to Ribbon Park on the lower hill, having to start there in the east and north sections, but they kind of had it on the map. And we kind of went into not a whole lot of discussion, but the fact of we're working through our SDCs and our park and then our kind of park layout and how that all ties in together, putting things in, including dog parks, and how they need to be really evaluated as we go through the process to make sure it all ties in for future things. One of the things about these discs that you throw them, you have to think about is they're plastic and they're heavy. So one of the things you don't want to be doing is throwing things and hitting kids in the head or hitting people. So there's other things that come along to
you. You'd hate going camping with me.
I like to have fun myself. So,
what about the dog park, Andy?
You know, the dog park is brought up, and it's been brought up and on the Parks Master Plan. It ranked about 7th and 15th. So it's on there, but the situation now is I don't really know where we'd put a dog park and then start that process of, so... Yeah, I don't really know.
Thank you.
Well, the public works is already fenced in.
That's true. We already have a dog. They don't have to run around much.
And there's a kennel right there, yeah. Perfect. Good. Okay, department reports, please. Andy Howe, what do you got for us today?
Just a couple of updates. Good evening, fellow citizens and visitors and such. Just got a couple updates. Rooftoppers came in Monday, which is a holiday. They put some of their roofing equipment on the community center roof. Still looking at the end of the month or so. Projected 3 week time. 3 week time frame to get that thing completed. We did the notice to proceed for our West Side project today. Cradar will be starting the 23rd.
Wow.
So they have they're shooting for the middle of June. And we have a couple bets wagered on the side on that one. We'll see how that goes. We got some pretty interesting weather.
Is that over under?
Yeah, what's the over under?
That's to be determined.
Could you explain to the audience what the West Side project is?
Yeah, we have about close to 1,000 feet, about 950 feet total main line that we're going to be looking at doing. It's over here on Rose Avenue, Sherry, Glencourt, reconstruction of Glencourt. Some pipe bursting. We have a section about 350 feet of 15-inch AC that's failed. It's just extremely degraded. The fact that it's outlived its useful life, so that's part of that project. We'll be bursting that. We'll be bursting the main line up on Glencourt, and we'll be doing another little burst behind the old Willie's restaurant. That's another area. We have the herds. Vehicles and stuff that are parked there, so we have a main line run through there. What makes it extremely difficult to access, because if we have a sewer problem or a plug up or a spill, it is really difficult to get all that equipment, cars moved and things. So we're going to redesign that, ship everything out, get everything out in the city right away so we can maintain things as needed, be less cumbersome, kind of redirect another main line. And we'll be bursting, it's about 188 feet behind there, we'll be bursting.
Can you tell what bursting is?
Basically, we shoot a line through, and we pull it. It's basically like an auger head that you with a pit that you drag through with like a big winch, I guess. I just explain it that way. And they pull this thing through, and there's an existing pipe, and this other pipe goes inside of it and just bursts the old pipe. So we don't have to dig. Less intrusive, I guess, would be the way to do it. So we try to do those when we can. They determine it upon the laterals if there's a lot of side sewer connections. It kind of determines it.
Is that a translite or concrete?
That's concrete.
Okay.
Yeah, we have 350 feet of AC, then that one's an old concrete that's got it's about a 6 foot, 8 foot wide area to work out, so it's really tight. It's really limited to getting in there to access it, so it makes it somewhat challenging. So, anyway.
Yeah, most of them concrete, the old ones?
Yeah, pretty much everything on the east side is concrete, other than our last east side project that we did.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of some AC mixed in there, a little more AC than we thought, but we're addressing it as we go. So.
Any questions for Andy?
Andy, did you touch on the Safe Route to Schools grant?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. That's a little over $2 million. So the Safe Route to School is ODOT does basically a grant process. So we applied. One of the things, it's a really competitive grant. And one of the things we wanted to do as a city was hit the main areas that the safety for the children, of course, access. It's a McGovern school, so off Carey Street. That's just a really nasty area. The roads itself is just treacherous. The children trying to walk there is just, it's beyond, it needs addressed. The homeowners there, it's just been a bad situation. But Knife River's doing some work back there also for the school. So there's a all that going on. So we applied for this work through ODOT, and it's probably 8-9 months process of going through this process of hitting the boxes. They want to see different things. So we'll be doing Carey Street with some crosswalks and flashing up on Looking Glass, hitting the main roads that come in off Looking Glass with some flashers, crosswalks, a little more safety for the children, and some more connectivity in that general area. So,
what's the catch?
We have to pay for it. So we have it's a 20% match. So we're looking at $2,400,000, $450,000 range. So that's the catch.
That's what we have to come up with, is the $450,000.
We gotta be able to pay for it. So
I'll give my salary up for that. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But that type of grant is such a competitive grant that for what we're gonna be getting out of that $2 million for we gotta go whatever we need to do, we're gonna make that happen. So it's huge for the community. And of course huge for the children. So that's what it's all about.
That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah, when you look at the recipients, there's like 12 that made the cut line for grants out of that program, and we're probably the smallest by far agency that got awarded a very nice piece of money for that project. So good work by Public Works. Andy and his staff with some help from Thomas put that grant together, and kudos to them. They did a great job.
Teamwork, by golly.
Thank you very much. Congrats. Appreciate it. Any more questions for Andy? Perfect. Thank you. Thomas, community development.
Yeah, just mayor, members of council, members of the audience, just a couple things. One thing that about that Safe Routes to School, last week I was on a Zoom call on a different project with ODOT, and there was a slide that was up there, and one of the bullet points was congratulations, and we hadn't got the official word yet. So there was the official word, and so I just found that a little whimsical, kind of how we found out. But regardless, they published it, they put it out there, and it's a huge thing for the city. So we're glad we are where we are with that. The other thing is I've been correlating frequently, and we had a really good conversation with the State of Oregon National Flood Insurance Program coordinator, or the NFIP coordinator. Now, this grant that we're going for is Looking Glass Creek. We don't know what the floodplain situation is there. Once it leaves and gets past the RV park, we don't know where the floodway is. We don't know where the floodplain is. We know there's floodplain there. We just don't know what the situation is. So what we've been doing is talking with them on getting that mapped, getting a grant to get it mapped to figure out what the situation is over there. We've got some development, Looking Glass Creek Estates, phase 3 and phase 4, the south end, it goes through there. We've got some other areas that are encumbered. Another thing is that's the area that we are by default kind of growing. So we need to understand what the situation is over there. So what the state NFIP coordinators told us is that through the Corps of Engineers, there is grant money available that we would be a good candidate for. But what we need to do is see if Douglas County is involved, because part of that creek is in their jurisdiction. So if we partner with them, it would make it a little more practical. So I have reached out to the county, to their planning director. I haven't heard back yet. But we are eager and anticipating starting the application fairly soon and getting it mapped. It's going to require an engineer to come down here, go on the river, set new cross sections, and map the whole thing out. And then what we would do is apply with FEMA for a letter of map amendment or a change and factor in the new maps. And it'll help with flood insurance. It just sends a good ripple effect in that regard. So that's one of the things that didn't make it on the report. Just wanted to fill the council in. Happy to take any questions.
Thomas, real quick. When I was with the Red Cross, we had very up-to-date floodplain maps for the 100-year, 500-year, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, they were really up to date. I was just wondering if it might be idea to contact them and procure a copy of those maps.
We have them. We have the updated maps in our inventory already.
Okay.
The problem is that west side of the city was part at one point it was part of a UGB expansion, and the study stops because when FEMA mapped the behavior of the flood, they anticipated there wasn't going to be much growth that way, or for whatever factor, they just stopped. So now that we have a good amount of area in our urban growth boundary, and we're thinking about growing even more, it becomes more incumbent upon the city to get that area mapped. But we have our adopted maps from February 17th of 2010 was the most recent one. And little letter of map amendments here and there trickled throughout the city that are adopted in. But I appreciate that. We're going to keep correlating with the state in that regard to make sure that we're headed down the right direction.
Thank you, Thomas. Anything else for Thomas?
Thomas, where is this RV park?
RV park?
You meant mobile home park.
Mobile home park or RV?
Mobile home park, okay.
You said RV park.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, that's why I got my hands away here.
So the RV park property,
the mobile home park.
Yeah, not that, right, Thomas. There. You'd mentioned that the creek was, through the RV.
There's park. A 19-acre piece, and it kind of has its own semantics, but it's right around here. Looking Glass Creek comes up, and then the study just stops right about here.
There you go.
And we have a bunch of development this way. Yeah. Looking Glass Creek all through here. Yeah. There's nothing.
There's an application for an RV park.
There
is an RV park currently. So.
Okay. Thank you.
I need to step back to Andy just real quick, and I apologize for not doing this earlier, but what's the scoop on Reservoir Hill? Where are we with that project and the power up for the antennas and stuff?
Reached out to a contractor to see about getting the power in there for the lower section, and that's where I'm at to this point.
We're just on hold. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bauer, administration, anything to...
Yeah. A couple of things, Your Honor, members of council and members of the audience with us tonight. Finding a contractor that's not tied up right now is extremely difficult. And there's some going to be a little bit of challenges. You know, it's very steep ground up there, and we don't want to open cut it unless we absolutely have to, because this time of the year, if we open cut it, it's going to cause major problems. So trying to get someone in there who can bore that, to put that in. The first thing, I had city recorder Cindy send out a doodle poll to try and see if we could figure out a day. Farmers Co-op has reached out to us and wants to know if we want to do a tour of the facility before they get it in there. And so she had sent out a poll. Basically, it's a thing that shows a couple of weeks in time, put down what's the best time and day for you to attend a tour over there. And she was sick all last week, so I don't know if any of you had the chance to fill it out or not, but I'll have her resend it.
Today.
Yeah, I'll have her resend
it. I was just there today, and they said that it would be March now.
It'll be what?
It's going to be March.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was supposed to be February, now it's going to be March.
Yeah.
They are, just like you say, contractors.
Yep.
So they're
just collecting their inventory is going to be a huge issue,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So while it's, or before it's got its inventory, they wanted to know if we want to walk through. So we're trying to arrange that. I'll get that resent to you tomorrow to make sure you get that out.
Thank you.
They're way out.
I didn't see it either, but that's okay.
The wake-up check passing will be scheduled for our next meeting, so we have time to make sure we get the newspaper and radio on board with it, send out a press release, give them plenty of time to make arrangements to get somebody there. So that's on the nearly $130,000 for the pavilion in the park that they have granted the city. So... we'll do that at the next council meeting. Then lastly, I was interviewed on Queen today. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the interview or not. But
fascinating. It was riveting.
Thank you. Thank you. They do have it. They do have it on a podcast if you're interested. So, but it's always an interesting time to see where their questions go.
It was incredible.
All right, that's all I got.
Thank you. Seeing no old business, new business, we're going to talk about council workshop dates for the parks SDC methodology and the sewer SDC methodology. We're looking at February 6th for the
parks,
which would be our next scheduled council meeting. We'll probably try to do that at 6 o'clock prior to the meet. Is this okay with everybody? And then the sewer SDC, we need to kind of coordinate with the engineer on that. So where are we with that, gentlemen?
He's still away out of the state, so he's going to be gone till the end of this month. And then we'll get in contact with him and get a date scheduled. So that'll take a meeting all in itself to get through that one.
Could be in March, so we'll do that as a special.
Yes, we'll do that as a special.
Okay, very good. So that's still pending. Thank you. Okay, on with the show. Resolution 23-1072, the supplemental budget, the acceptance of a grant from, I think that's the one for the
Wake Up
grant, isn't it?
Yep, the Pavilion Project.
And we're going to read that by title only. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 23-1072, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, adopting supplemental budget for the City of Winston for 2022-2023 fiscal year, making appropriations.
Thank you, sir. Staff report, please.
Yes, Your Honor, members of council and members of the audience. The spreadsheet that adjoins the resolution goes through the numbers, and basically any time that we take revenue in that was not planned during the budget, we have to go in and adjust our budget to add it so that we can spend it. So in this case, we got a grant from Wake Up for $126,127, and it's to build a new pavilion up in Community Park, where on the slab where the old one used to be that we had to take down because of safety concerns. So this resolution, what it does is that it adjusts our budget to add these dollars in on the revenue side and then take them back out on the expenditure side for the pavilion. So it adjusts our budget from $3,295,139 to $3,421,266. That would complete my report.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Any comments from the audience? Questions or comments from council? Council action. Need a motion to approve 23-1072.
I make a motion that we approve resolution 23-1072, the supplemental budget.
I have a motion. Seeking a second?
Second.
I have a motion in 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Pose same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Resolution 23-1073, the leachate agreement, third extension with Douglas County. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 23-1073, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to enter into the third extension of the Douglas County Leachate Agreement, number 3000175.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Staff report, please. Is that you again?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So this is the third extension of our leachate agreement. Essentially, the transfer site has material that has to be filtered through the green sanitary plants that has very malicious high levels of ammonia and different things that have to be put through the transition process. So essentially, these materials are transported to from the transfer site to the Grand Sanitary Green Sanitary Plant, and they're put through the treatment process through our approved DEQ permit. One of the things that we will highlight is that we receive $850 a month plus 2 cents per gallon. Is what the specific agreement highlights. There are a few additional points that I received from Scott Adams today, the Douglas County Public Works Director, in regards to this, because there has been ongoing efforts, and part of the agreement is building their own facility to treat this material. And the agreement says it's supposed to be done and operating by 2030. There's several bullet points in here. One of the things is anticipated completion date is fall of 2023 or winter of 2024. Construction material delays have kind of delayed that almost 6 months, so they're running behind. One of the things we would like to highlight is that once this treatment plant is built, it will not mitigate the full need to send some material to our plant. It would just get it down below the threshold, so we're not at risk for our permit. So they will essentially take all the ammonia out, dilute a lot of things, so it's mitigated in that regard prior to reaching the plant. So it's brought down to easy treatable levels.
So that will make it far easier for us and less dangerous for us, correct?
Yeah. Yes, Your Honor, if I may, just a little more of a layman's description of what's going on. As you might imagine, up at the landfill, over the years, the county has packed a lot of garbage in there. And as it rains, that moisture percolates down through the soil and through that material and comes out the bottom end of it as what we call leachate. And because of the materials that have been buried in there over the years, there's a lot of contaminants that come out with it. So the county has to capture that so it doesn't run into the river, and they capture it and they truck it to us right now to our treatment plant, the Winston Green plant over on the other side of the river, and we treat it. So essentially what they're talking about now doing is a pre-treatment process. Well, they'll try and reduce it down to a more treatable level so that we are not potentially in violation of exceeding our permit limits on what we can discharge from our plant into the river.
Yeah, basically what happens is that if the concentrate comes in too high, it burns off and kills off the bacteria that's needed into cleaning up the leachate.
Which has happened in the past.
Which has happened in the past, so that's literally surprising. Now the question I do have, on the third extension at $850 a month plus 2 cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. Okay, does that reflect the cost, increased cost of operation?
That was my question too. Is this covering our cost of processing this? Because chemicals have gone up by 50%. So, I mean, that's questionable. I mean, I don't know if there's any studies that we can do to make sure we're covering the costs?
Yes, if I may, Your Honor.
Please.
There was a study done when we originally began accepting the leachate that established the price, and it was significantly higher, set at a significantly higher number than what the actual costs were because of the risks that we face by taking it. So that number, I still believe, is a valid number at this point in time, but we'll do a quick analysis on it to make sure that it hasn't changed significantly.
Yeah, let's put this on the table then.
Okay.
And also, why did we take this over? Because it says since 2016, so who was processing it before that time?
We've always been processing it. Before that, they had an on-site treatment process, but the regulations changed to where that process could no longer be used. Mm-hmm. So they
we've the county, Mark, was it the county that was supposed to take care of it? And
yeah, yes. it's a county operation. They looked for other sources
to take it, and we were the only one that had a facility that really could accommodate it.
And at one point, their leachate killed our plant.
Right, and they had to ship everything up north.
That's correct. So what happened is Councillor Cunningham had indicated that we got such a high level of contamination that came in. Because what they used to do was bring it in a truck and they would just straight discharge it into our system. It killed off the biological population that treats the sewage in a treatment plant. That's all done by bugs, microbes that eat the bad stuff up. So we end up with basically water coming out the other end. So it killed that off. And it takes quite a bit of time to regrow that once you lose that. So now what happens is we have what are called Baker tanks. They're tanks that the county moved into our treatment plant that allow us, they now discharge into these holding tanks, and now we can feed it in periodically, so it comes in a much reduced amount going into the treatment system.
We also test it.
We test it and check it and make sure it's lower. So we don't
and they do it. Too, yes.
And also I noticed on this report that the gallons are increasing on this. So in 2021, 874,000 gallons, and now 1.3 million gallons.
Right. It's all dependent on rainfall, because it just varies with the rainfall.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I think we'll table this if you guys agree. Can we get more of an accurate accounting for the chemical costs? Any questions from the audience?
I have one question. When you said that you, Mark, addressing you, when you said that they addressed the amount priced higher for anticipation, how much higher at that point, which was several years ago?
Yeah, I don't recall the numbers exactly. I'll have to go back and take a look. And just as another aside to this, because we partner with the Green Area Sanitary and Water Authority, we share this this process with them, the costs and the revenues from it, and their board has already approved this, so we'll go back and do an analysis, and if we find the numbers that are way out, we'll contact them and give them the numbers as well.
If I remember correctly, I could be mistaken, but I think it was like 6 cents a gallon. It was pretty high.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a fairly significant cost.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions on the subject? Moving on, ordinance 22-708. This is a CenturyLink franchise agreement. We're going to read this by title only. This is the first reading, and what's this? We'll talk about moving it to the second meeting. So, Mr. McIntosh, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. City of Winston, Oregon, ordinance number 22-708, Quest Corporation DBA CenturyLink, UC, on behalf of itself and its operating affiliates, which is authorized to do business within the state of Oregon, has filed with the City of Winston, State of Oregon, the city, a written application for renewal of its franchise to locate, construct, operate, maintain telecommunication systems, or the system, over, under, along, and across all city rights of way and public property in the city for the purposes of providing telecommunication services and sales. And the city has determined it is in the interest of persons and businesses in the jurisdiction to have access to CenturyLink services.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Will you do the staff report as well?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience, we have previously had a franchise agreement in place with CenturyLink, which is essentially private operations, when they want to do business inside the city limits, requires them in some cases to do work in our rights of way or our streets, our infrastructure. In concert with that, it is incumbent upon the city to have an agreement in place and requires them to pay a certain incremental amount, 5% of their gross income within the city limits, to the city to offset or mitigate the impacts of those types of requests. We did have a franchise agreement some years ago. It expired. I don't know the exact date, but this particular franchise agreement has been reviewed thoroughly by our attorney. He has offered revisions, which we have put back to CenturyLink. We would like to make the council aware that those revisions were forwarded back to Quest, and they have still yet to agree, so thus this is just a first reading. We will still likely do a public hearing on this.
So it's a moot point, basically.
Well, it's, if I may, Your Honor.
Please.
CenturyLink had some question or issue about our indemnity clause of the contract, which is basically where we require them to hold us harmless, and in the event that there are any issues with their utility in the city. They offered some recommended changes, and I reviewed them, sent them on to our attorney, and we both agreed that the original language we wanted to maintain, because it didn't cover their changes gave us less security coverage than what we had originally put into it. So that's where it sits right now. We're waiting for them to respond.
So hypothetically, if they don't come around to our way of thinking, what?
Well, without a franchise agreement, they don't have the right to operate in the city.
So we're going to give them the boot?
So, well, we will work it out. Let's put it that way.
Is the indemnity in the what's on our website right now, is that our
that's
idea?
Our,
that's not theirs.
That's our language. Okay. That's correct.
Okay, any questions from the audience? Council, any questions? Okay, so we're really not moving this to the second reading because we don't have the corrected version from them, do we? Or are we going to move this to the second reading anyway?
Your Honor, if you will, we would recommend you move it to the second reading, and then if we don't, we'll pull it from the agenda at the next meeting.
Okay. So I need a motion to move Ordinance 22708, CenturyLink Franchise Agreement, to the second reading.
Nice move.
I have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Upcoming agenda items, Mr. Bauer, please.
Excuse me. Okay, so upcoming agenda items will deal primarily with the outcomes of our workshops that we have coming up in the near future. Fairly up to date on our projects as far as bids go, and any policy changes that we might forward to you for consideration as well. But most of it's going to have to do with what we come out of our workshops.
Nothing specific, though, at this point.
Nothing specific at this time.
Thank you. Non-agenda items from council. Anybody have anything they want to pitch out?
I just had one thing. We're going to do a staff evaluation, and I was trying to find some documentation and details about the actual rules and regs of what we have with our employees and that, and I thought I couldn't find it. Maybe I don't know where to look.
No, if I may, Your Honor, I asked the city recorder to send you those forms, and she was out all last week,
oh, okay.
So she'll get them to you.
Good.
This week.
Okay.
Anything else? Counselors, good to the order. The check copies were in the magic screen here. Claims in excess of $500 were there as well. Announcements, Urban Renewal Agency, January 19th at 3 p.m., which is in 2 days. And Oktoberfest meeting, January 19th as well at 5 p.m. City Hall. Executive session, Mr. Bauer?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, and good night. Thank you all for being here.